Rock you like a hurricane.
Woo!
I'd rather crank up the Scorpions than have to batten down the hatches. This thing is coming. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:07. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's also Trash Talking Tuesday. Thanks to Florence Recycling. Now, this isn't trash talking. It is for real. We're tracking Helene. Just got the 8 o'clock numbers. You've got maximum sustained winds 35 miles an hour. Movement northwest at 9 miles an hour. I hate to pinpoint cone of uncertainty, but if you had to right now, you'd say that maybe that Dixie, Northern Dixie County, Taylor County could be very much in the thick of it. Areas around there and on the coastal areas in general, they have suffered quite a bit, probably more than anywhere else in Florida during this season anyway. So we're keeping an eye out for it. It looks like they're predicting hurricane status sometime tomorrow is most likely. And then we're going to start feeling the effects in our listening area on the West Coast, sometime Thursday. But by Friday morning, pretty much going to be out of here.
Yeah.
But again, these things can change. That's why we stay on top of it. And we thank Radiant Credit Union for the severe weather updates. All right. I've got some, I give free consulting, out to everybody.
You've never benefit from it personally.
Need to get a sweatshirt, cut the sleeves off it, makes your utility.
Yeah.
And get Donald Trump out there in it.
Really?
Because he's in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Fetterman look.
Oh.
Yeah, man,
okay.
The Fetterman look. Wow. You got to go with the flow.
Some like baggy gym shorts kind of, or
maybe
sweats?
You maybe? Can go with that. You can go with that.
Huh.
Senator John Fetterman, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, who doesn't appear at times to be all that bright, but apparently he was smart enough to beat a legitimate doctor.
That still blows my mind.
In a senatorial race.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Anyway,
he's warning Democrats. He said former President Trump is far more popular in Pennsylvania than they may think, the Democrats. Yep. Trump is going to be strong in Pennsylvania. We have to respect that, he said. After being asked at the 2024 Atlantic Festival what people, such as Pennsylvanian voters, people he grew up with and his friends, see in Donald Trump that makes them want to vote for him, Fetterman replied that he knows people who are voting for Trump, even if they are appalled by some of these things. And I've never agreed with our approach talking about that he's a convicted felon, Fetterman went on. I mean, I thought Democrats, we were the party that was all about second chances. And that we're not going to condemn somebody based on mistakes and that kind of situation. That's interesting that he says this.
Yes,
in other words,
out loud,
and he has done this kind of thing, this similar thing, several times. And he's not making friends in the Democrat Party because he's getting close to speaking the truth.
He's done it a few
which
times.
Which scares the heck out of them.
They don't like that at all.
He said, I was convinced, too, that those kinds of trials and that kind of thing, it's not going to have an impact on that. It's like, what's left? He's been impeached twice. Now, it's been two attempted assassinations, one where a bullet actually hit him. He said, I also want people to understand, it's not science, but there's energy, there's kinds of anger on the ground in Pennsylvania, and people are very committed, and Trump is going to be strong, and we have to respect that. And so that, very
interesting. It is.
That's so good. That's why I'm saying, wear the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Say, it's the Fetterman.
I doubt he owns one.
He's definitely a suit and tie guy.
He's a
his
suit
whole
and tie
life,
guy. Forever. I mean, imagine any picture you've ever seen. He's a suit and tie and trench coat kind of guy. For decades, that's what we think of,
So Fetterman is feeling a sea change in Pennsylvania. He said the energy is there from the people. And don't underestimate Trump. Could there be a same sort of change in amongst the Jewish population? A former U.S. ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, said on Sunday he's embarrassed by the behavior of Jewish organizations that had accused former President Trump of anti-Semitism last week, despite the evidence. Yeah, this is something we've been talking about for a while. No U.S. president has been better to the state of Israel than Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
And how and why they can't quite understand that. And for their very own survival, the state of Israel, you would want a strong ally that's going to support what the people on the ground need to do in Israel. And I know that not everybody connected to Israel or whatever is a huge Netanyahu fan.
That's true.
But again, just like maybe, you know, voting for Trump might be tough for some people, I'm telling you, it's in your best interest. Same thing with it. You want to save the state of Israel? You need a tough leader like Netanyahu.
Oh, absolutely.
And so don't you want somebody who's going to be able to work with that leader?
Well, and talking to, and I'd mentioned it before, talking to one of my liberal Jewish friends back in St. Louis, it's like they don't like him politically. They're very liberal. He's conservative in that sense. They don't agree with his policies. But after the October 7th thing, they're like, okay, for a response to that, Netanyahu is who you need to get in there and kick butt.
Well, so, I'm glad that's being recognized.
Yeah.
Now, this ambassador, former ambassador to Israel, Friedman, he was the ambassador during Trump's first term, directly involved in some of the dramatic achievements in the U.S.-Israel policy, including the relocation of the embassy to Jerusalem, the recognition of Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, and the forging of the Abraham Accords peace deal with several Arab states.
So he knows.
Yeah.
He knows what Trump's really all about.
Exactly.
Which most Democrats, I don't think, do. Or, excuse me, most, well, they don't either, but most Jewish people in America don't really know.
Yeah, you'd think that, you know, I mean, look past the alphabet networks just a little bit.
I know.
But it is, in all fairness, it is harder and harder to do your homework and to arrive at the truth. It is much more difficult than it was, you know, a couple of decades ago when I first started doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's up with Janet Jackson? Is she keeping her keeping all her clothes on? The wardrobe all secure. Wasn't that her?
Yeah, she was.
Her had a little malfunction.
Yeah, she had that.
Malfunction junction.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting. So apparently, what did she say? Something along the lines of Kamala Harris isn't black?
Yeah, I said that a while back, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. And then apparently some sort of an apology came out.
Right.
But then now she's come out and said, I didn't authorize an apology, and I don't apologize.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well. Yep.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah.
Well, you know what they supposedly said. This is from Janet Jackson. She's not black. Uh-huh. That's what I heard, that she's Indian. Right. The Rhythm Nation singer said this, according to the paper, The Guardian, out of the UK. The paper's reporter corrected this singer by noting that Harris is both black and Indian, but Jackson pushed back against that, too, by saying the vice president's father was white. Her father was white. That's what I was told. I mean, I haven't watched the news in a few days. I was told that they discovered her father was white. Kamala was born in Oakland, California, to mother Shyamala Gopalan, who was a cancer researcher from India. Her father, Donald Harris, is a native of Jamaica and was an economist who immigrated to the U.S. to earn a doctorate degree at the University of California, Berkeley, where he met Kamala's mother. Once Jackson's words got into print, Mo Elmasri apologized for her comments in a statement on Sunday in a report that was on BuzzFeed. Now, he claims that he's Jackson's manager, and he wrote, Janet apologizes for any confusion caused and acknowledges the importance of accurate representation in public discourse. We appreciate the opportunity to address this and will remain committed to promoting unity. She deeply respects Vice President Kamala Harris and her accomplishments as a black and Indian woman. But Jackson's team is now disavowing that statement.
I mean, he's Jamaican, and I think, and here's a picture of him. Wish we could show this at the radio. I think she looks a lot like your dad.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's,
yep.
Yeah, he's not, definitely not a pasty white boy.
No, you got a nice tan. Yeah.
Well.
Better than mine. Yeah.
Well, that's not tough to beat.
Speaking of pasty
Mister,
white boys.
I'm afraid of the beach.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of it. I just...
It won't hurt you.
Oh, sure.
8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we are tracking Helene. We'll keep you up to date with the latest information there on 97.3 The Sky. It's 8:21. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show along with Greg Cassidy.
Hey.
And here we are. Yep, another day in paradise. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Not feeling like paradise to anybody who follows the Jags last night. They were trashed by the Bills 47-10. Oh, that was ugly. The Bills looked like, I don't know, man, if they're like the supermen of the NFL, because the Jags sure made them look fantastic, or are the Jags just that terrible?
But it gives you something to talk about on a Trash Talking Tuesday. It's appropriately timed.
There you go.
So they did it just for you.
We are tracking and will continue to track Helene. 35-mile-an-hour sustained winds. They think this will turn into a tropical storm. You have to have winds above 39 miles an hour for it to qualify for that. They think that is going to happen maybe noonish today or something like that. But it is traveling northwest at 9 miles an hour. So you're looking at Thursday when we'll feel the effects on Florida's west coast. And then landfall possibly looks like Thursday night or early Friday. And we'll continue to follow it and keep you aware. And they also forecast that it could become a major hurricane on Thursday. So this thing is, it doesn't look like it's anything, but you know, the experts are all like, no, this thing really is going to blow up because it still doesn't look like a huge threat. It's interesting from that perspective.
Well, yeah, it's amazing how much it needs to do in the next 2 days.
Exactly.
And how fast it needs to travel.
Exactly.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I don't know. Maybe it's hooking on like a cruise ship or something.
I don't know. You know, it's maybe getting faster than them.
Maybe the wake of the cruise ship. It's traveling in the wake.
Yeah. Well, that's another whole thing. And you know, I told you the other day, I've got friends in Atlanta. They're going to be taken out on their cruise, but they're going from Jacksonville. And so they're all concerned about, okay, where's the issue? Where's the storm? Where's the rain? How that's going to affect travel. And they always have to compensate for that and reroute themselves and stuff like that. So,
can I make a recommendation?
Yes, you may.
Tell them once they board, ask the captain to sail directly east.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else out there brewing. But yes, for now, that's a good idea.
Most people have heard by now, maybe you have not, that the shooter wannabe, Ryan Wesley Ruth, who they caught down there in South Florida, was attempting to assassinate former President Trump. The guy left a letter, I guess, apparently a letter, a note in a box. But we can't, they're not IDing the person who brought the box to law enforcement, but they're alleging that this guy, Ruth, wrote the letter, and in it, the suspect apologizes for failing to succeed in the assassination attempt on Trump. Now, he had to write this before the attempt was even made.
Right.
It's bizarre. But here's the really bizarre thing. In it, he talks about offering $150,000 to anyone who was able to successfully carry out the job, even though he failed. He put that in there.
It's weird.
Now, this is a case where the DOJ would have either not released the letter or redacted that part of it. I mean, clear as day, no questions asked. I mean, that's a simple law enforcement thing. That just doesn't even up to that level. You're not like, well, we have special training in this. No, that is extremely threatening language. It doesn't get any more threatening than that. That is saying, I just put a bounty on Trump's head.
And they spread it. It's like when people go share everything on the internet. The government just did that. A threat on a former president.
And the thing is, if you go by their track record, they never do that. It's hard. It's like pulling teeth to get info. Did they ever put out the that manifesto from the girl that shot up her school?
No. Never did.
Because they said they fear that they could get copycat crimes as a result of it.
But we toss out something with a cash bonus involved.
Yeah, what do you think you're think you're going to get when you allow you basically advertised a bounty?
Yeah,
you put up the wanted poster.
That's crazy.
It is. I don't know how this could possibly be defended. I mean, look, former Attorney General Bill Barr, he's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And he said he was just absolutely dumbfounded by the fact that the DOJ put that out. I don't even know if they can verify for sure that it is his writing, that it actually is his letter.
Because it
what
seems...
if it wasn't?
Oh, well, then you've got to go, whose was it?
Well, and then again, you'd have to go back to how could you possibly release this information, even if it was verifiable?
Exactly.
It should have never been released. But if it was released and then it's not verified, they didn't do their due diligence, it would almost seem as though somebody wanted this to come out. And how can you measure it any other way? It doesn't get any more threatening language than to say, I'll give somebody $150,000 if they can finish a job. It seems like, you know, we reached this new area where, you know, we're not shocked. And then along comes something like this where it's like, how can you not be? How can you not be shocked by that? I mean, am I missing something? I just want to make sure because I started to go off on this yesterday.
Right.
And then as the story progresses and we have the luxury of being on it first in the morning, but I wanted to see how other people reacted, and most of them reacted a very similar way.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Totally opposite of what they usually do. Totally. 180.
But Bill Barr, I mean.
Yeah, and he's not a Trump fan.
No.
Mm-mm. But he knows law and common sense.
They would never do this under ordinary circumstances. Yep. Somebody's got Trump derangement syndrome inside the DOJ. That's what it is. Whew. We're approaching 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget, you can always get our podcast and never miss a minute of the show, the Bob Rose Show. You can go through the Odyssey app or wherever you normally get your podcasts. Just click on subscribe. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Probably one of the most memorable advertising campaigns was Motel 6.
Oh, yeah.
We'll leave the light on for you. Remember that?
Oh, man. For years.
Kind of a homespun. What was that guy? Like an NPR guy, I think. And
Tom Baudette?
Baudette. Tom Baudette. Yeah. Wow, you're good.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah. And so that's a classic. But it appears that Motel 6 can be sold.
What?
That doesn't mean the lights are going to go out, but changing hands. Going to be sold to an overseas hotel operator in a huge cash deal. The company that's going to take over apparently is based in India. The investment firm Blackstone announced Friday it'll be a cash deal worth $525 million and include the sale of the Studio 6 motel brand, which I am assuming is sort of an off branch or whatever. You know how they're all doing these different brands, whatever. It's a company, Oyo, O-Y-O, Oyo, which launched in India over a decade ago. It's been expanding its footprint in the U.S. over the past few years. The company says it currently operates 320 hotels across 35 states and is aiming to add 250 more this year. And it appears that the hotels are going to be very convenient now with a built-in gas station and liquor store as part of the operation. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry, Mr. Patel, I apologize.
At least you didn't say 7-Eleven, thanks, Joe Biden.
Yeah, I would never do that.
Actually, it's not surprising at all, because for whatever reason, over the last decade especially, we've seen in the States, the Indian influx into the hotel industry is just, it's huge. I mean, I've got friends that, and ironically, their last name was Patel.
It's the Smith of India. But go ahead.
Really is. I know. That's what I'm saying. But them and their family and extended and friends, I mean, they're all in the hotel industry.
That's a cultural thing that, you know, we haven't taken advantage of. We as, you know, Americans, and for the most part, there's some family-owned businesses. But think about it, if you even got together with some like-minded friends, no matter what you went into, if everybody had skin in the game, and you wouldn't have loss because, you know, you're all looking at the bottom line.
Sure.
and you would run a business very well, and you would all be successful, and then you buy another one and replicate it, and buy another one and replicate it. It's kind of sad, I guess, in a way, that another culture can come in, and it's not just Indians either, but they'll come in and they will make these sacrifices. Everybody will live in this small house, and they save their money, and they buy things, and then once it's successful, they buy more and buy more.
But we're Americans, and we don't want to sacrifice all those years. We want the instant gratification, so we just go get a job that pays enough and do our thing.
And that's an excellent point, that there is sacrifice to get to that point, for sure. And so many people forget, anytime you look at somebody who's successful, you know, rest assured, in 99% of the cases, they have sacrificed quite a bit to get to that point. So anyway, at the same time Motel 6 is being sold, we have one of the last Kmarts closing on Long Island. And that brings back like a lot of memories, you know. We had Kmart in the neighborhood, and otherwise we had to go to Sears, and that was a little bit further, you know. It was a trip to the mall when Sears was like an anchor store. Are we even going to be talking about malls at all in a few years? Now, I think it's fantastic when they find alternative uses and they use all that space. Gosh, where was it? Where, I think near a retirement community, they basically make the mall into all the things that would serve, you know, the elderly people that live nearby. So it's almost like their own mall in a way.
Right.
And then including like medical stuff. Well, we know like the Oaks Mall in Gainesville, didn't Shands own a pretty good chunk of that now?
Where was it, where Sears used to be? That whole medical part?
Yeah, I guess it would be on that side. Yeah. I'm trying to remember, like, wow, going to the mall is almost, you know?
Well, I was telling you off air a couple days ago where the nicest, West County is the nicer area of St. Louis metropolitan area, and the biggest, nicest mall is shutting down in St. Louis, major city like that, and it's gone.
So I guess is online the number one contributor to that?
I don't know. And again, we've got a generation that, you know, used to go hang out at the mall as young people. That became part of their life, but they're sitting at home on their laptops and whatever else they're doing, but they're not going to the mall.
Yeah, I kind of like touch it, feel it, try it on kind of thing. I guess once you've found something that you know works, if you can find it, you know, the same size, whatever, I get that. But other than that, you don't really always know what the quality is going to be like. And
Well, you mentioned Sears growing up again in St. Louis. A building that was probably built in the 40s or 50s and was still huge into my young teen life in the 70s was Sears. I mean, and it was huge, but, you know, how many, 10, 12 floors of Sears? But
they were the first ones to take alternative currency.
Really?
Yeah, Roebuck. Oh, I didn't get a ba-dum-psh.
You got one this hour.
Sears and Roebuck used to be part of it.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't you like that? Alternative.
That's good. That's good.
Working on my dad humor every day.
Well, grandfather humor now.
Thank you. So, I mean, thank you.
Yes.
Craig, you son of a... Get off my lawn, Cassidy!
That's always been me, though.
Fade in my...
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking I won't have to filter. When I'm retired, I will not have to filter anymore.
Uh-huh. There's no red light on your microphone saying, hey, watch what you say. FCC license involved here.
Former President Donald Trump visited a grocery store in Pennsylvania on Monday, giving out $100. $100 for you, $100 for you. Now, he gave $100 to a struggling mother of three. He was visiting the Sprankles grocery store. Have you heard of Sprankles?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, it is, you know, he turned to a mother at the checkout stand, give her a little gift. Here, it's going to go down a little bit, meaning, you know, your bill's going to go down a little bit, and hands her $100. Thank you so much.
Nice.
Yeah, and he reminded her, hey, we'll do that for you from the White House.
Oh.
Yeah, I like that.
There you go.
And he said, your kids are beautiful, and so... Pennsylvania remains one of the toughest battleground states for the former president, along with Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia, according to a recent poll. You've got Harris winning 49% of the the poll compared to 44 for Trump. But there have been new polls that have come out since this that are seeing a slight reversal for Kamala and Trump gaining. So we'll dig into that in a little bit. And I also want to keep you up to speed with what is going on with what will soon be known as Helene. We're still relying on the 8 a.m. numbers. They won't update this until 11 a.m., but this shows maximum sustained winds at 35 miles an hour, moving northwest at 9 miles an hour. So they believe it'll become a tropical storm really any time now over the probably the next two updates. It probably will. And then they believe sometime Wednesday it'll turn into a hurricane. And then when it's right on our West Coast doorstep, they believe it could be a major hurricane. And they've got, you know, you've got your all the way from Panama City to south of Tampa Bay. Pretty much within that cone of uncertainty. And anytime you're on the coast, you know that can be affected even further north or south. And people, if you're in low-lying areas, I mean, this is one that you definitely want to keep an eye on, and an area that is in many ways kind of saturated already.
And just went through the last one, you know, here over the summer. And it is so much. You know, and, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, I guess, because there's so many times my wife and I go on vacation. We go to one coast or the other, and you think, you know, someday it'd be nice to live here, have a small business in retirement, whatever the case may be. And then you kind of keep hearing, you know, well, wow, how many hurricanes do you deal with? It's like, it's not all the good part. You know, there's things you got to deal with when you live in paradise.
We've got great friends that have a place out in Suwannee, and it seemed like they had just got cleaned up from one storm.
Yeah.
Another one, you know, this last one came on through. Now what's going to happen, you know, coming up Thursday?
Well, hope not.
So that is definitely the downside. You get your little piece of paradise, and then Mother Nature keeps slapping you around. It's no fun.
Yeah.
Former President Donald Trump returning to Butler, Pennsylvania, apparently next month for a second rally. This is where the first assassination attempt on him took his life. Details on that?
It did not take his life. He lived.
Tried to take his life. Oh, yes. I got out ahead of it because I was going to remind people that any changes with Helene, et cetera, we'll continue to track. It's what we do.
Yep.
It is 8:45. You can catch our podcast, the Bob Rose Show podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Click on subscribe and you're in. 97.3 The Sky. Let's call it 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock on a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And your time check is brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, tracking Helene, thanks to Radiant Credit Union. We'll keep you updated on that. But, yeah, it looks like Thursday is going to be quite the day, especially on the coast. But then it'll begin to move inland later on. And so you want to get your preparations done. Today would be a great day to do it. Look, it's going to be absolutely gorgeous out. So run around and get whatever you need to get done. Get yourself some water and think about what your plans are if you lose power. And start making ice or whatever, you know. Yeah. All those little things that can make, you know, a few days a lot less miserable.
We usually now... I've always, and in the past years, when we didn't have a generator, would always take Ziploc bags, fill them full of water, freeze them a couple of days ahead before things come along your way.
Yeah, it's a great
idea.
And
then if the power does go out, stick some of those in the refrigerator.
You're kidding.
I know. It's pretty simple, though. And you know, and water, except for GRU, water's free. You know, so.
Except for GRU.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Good one.
Just kidding.
But no, yeah.
Sorry, Ed, just
there's
joking.
Lots of little things you can do. Yeah. And there's lists all over the place that you can look up. But yeah, it'll make life, you know, a little less of a pain, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, that is your number one top story for everybody within our listening area for sure. Alachua County is going to have an emergency meeting a little bit later on. They'll start making their plans. I believe they already have done that in a lot of the coastal areas and counties. So that is a good thing. And P. Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs, you know, this guy is up for some real serious stuff. And look, you're rich. You want to put on crazy parties. that's one thing. But if the allegations about, you know, drugging people and forcing them to perform sexual acts and all that, I mean, that is, sorry, it doesn't matter how rich you are. That's not okay.
No.
And just a little interesting side note. Ashton Kutcher apparently did an interview some time ago. It was all the way back in September of 2019.
Wow. Okay.
And was asked about these famous, you know, parties, basically.
Because people know about them, knew about them.
And he said then, Kutcher said, I've got a lot I can't tell. He said to the host, Sean Evans. So, and then he sighed, he paused, he says, no, I can't tell you that one either. And he kind of did a nervous laugh, and he says, I'm actually cycling through them, like in his mind.
Uh-huh.
Diddy party stories, man. That was some weird memory lane thing, and I don't know that he ever really addressed the question, but now there's... Now he admits, you know, that he was there, that he knows something. He might not have seen anything illegal. I'm not saying that. But this could turn into almost a who's who of who's going to be on the witness stand one way or another. Mm. You know, because there was a lot of people that were well known that attended these parties. And I was reading on where one, I think she was a singer or something, but... she said it was pretty obvious to her that as the night went later and later, the kind of the tone changed. And that's probably when they were bringing out more of the alleged drugs or whatever.
Right.
And that was the time where, for her, she knew, this is not my scene anymore. It's not fun, and left.
Yeah. It was somebody kind of like an MC Hammer, or if it wasn't him, way back when, was told, about a certain time when they might want to leave.
Mm.
The fact that it was so, but you know, this is what we keep coming up with. So many of these things, these events, things with these celebrities and going way over the line, a lot of people know about it, and then it finally blows up. And then it becomes this huge story of how bad it was. But you're like, you know, whether it was an Epstein or a whatever, Hollywood knew all of it already.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that culture, if you will.
Yes.
I mean, I guess we shouldn't be too shocked by some of it.
No.
It's when they take advantage of others.
Yes.
The whole idea of the Weinstein thing, the idea of getting a gig, getting a job.
Yep.
People are, you know, sacrificing and want to succeed. They want their one chance. They think that this is going to help them. And so they end up, you know, compromising their values and doing things mm-hmm. that they later regret. And some of these things, you know, without going into it too graphically, I mean, you probably need, like, some therapy and some help
get
you past that in your...
So much of it is not normal,
say. Yeah. Mm. So it'll be interesting if, you know, they say, hey, this guy, we're going to force this guy to testify or whatever, you know, subpoenas, stuff like that, Ashton Kutcher.
Yep.
And I'm sure there were tons of big names that were there.
But think about, because it's been revealed and already said, that no matter where you were in that house, anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you were on camera.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Now, was that widely known?
I don't know how... Unless they were hidden, but they say seriously, there was no place you could go and nothing you could do that was not on camera.
You know, under wanting maybe top security or maybe wanting to have blackmail for people, whatever the case may be.
Both. Yeah.
This could be the worst thing in terms of evidence used against him now.
You wouldn't even have to subpoena people. Just bring out the video and who's there?
Good news for Donald Trump and some polling data regarding the Teamsters. I will share that with you, and we'll give you another update on Helene. It's all coming your way during the 9 o'clock stretch, which is coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.